TGI, you know what it is, right? It's Texas Standard Time on a Friday, August 14th. I'm David Brown, and it is great to have you with us. Some journalist or another once said that one of the greatest assets a reporter can have is a finely tuned baloney detector. I don't believe baloney was the term used. It may have been some other kind of detector. My own detector, such as it is far from finely tuned, that's for sure. I seem to trigger it myself quite a bit. But I will confess that my detector, and a lot of journalists' baloney detectors, have had their needles pegged since the incredible story of a biker shootout in Waco. Just yesterday, one of our listeners wrote in to ask what the latest was on this biker shootout incident. Great question, and a timely one, too, because on Monday, the first of three hearings are set. These happening almost 3 months after the deadly shootout that resulted in 9 deaths and 177 arrests. Wow. Yeah, I mean, you might think that given those numbers, 9 deaths, 177 arrests, there might be, I don't know, a video somewhere? We hear that there are videos, but we haven't been able to see them. No one's talking either because, well, there's a gag order. What about autopsy reports? Well, after 3 months, autopsy reports were finally released just yesterday. But aside from showing that all 9 were killed by gunshots, which we already knew, and that most were shot in the head or neck, which does seem to be a new sliver of information, there's still no indication of who shot whom. Tamara Tebow runs the Center for Legal Pedagogy at the Texas Southern School of Law in Houston. She's a columnist for AboveTheLaw.com. Professor, what exactly have these 170-plus motorcycle riders been charged with?
Well, so far, everyone who was arrested has been charged with what is essentially a conspiracy offense under the Texas Penal Code. So it's a conspiracy to commit capital murder offense that is particular to gang members. It's a conspiracy to engage in organized criminal activity. So it carries with it sort of extra penalties under Texas law, which is the reason why we have this separate gang-specific type of offense.
But wait a minute. I wasn't aware that anyone had actually been charged with murder here.
And that is actually an interesting point of Texas law. No one has yet been charged with capital murder in this case. And indeed, strangely enough, the DA need not ever charge anyone with capital murder in order to secure convictions on the conspiracy to commit capital murder charge.
That is odd indeed. We received a question from someone yesterday, one of our listeners, basically asking, why is it that we haven't heard more about this case? This was such a big deal, in fact, made national, international headlines 3 months ago when it happened. But of course, there's been a gag order here.
That's absolutely correct. And of course, gag orders, or protective orders, as the court likes to call them, mm-hmm. are supposed to be a rarity in not only Texas law, but under the United States Constitution. So obviously, anytime you have a gag order in place where the court says that people involved with the case are not allowed to discuss it with the media, that's what we call a prior restraint on free speech. And the presumption is always that prior restraints are going to violate the First Amendment, but courts are allowed to, under certain conditions, make exceptions to that. And the standard is supposed to be quite high. So for example, there'll be restraints on pretrial publicity, which is sort of what we're seeing in this case, mm-hmm. in order to ensure that there's sort of, you know, no compromise, jury pool, those sorts of things. And the real question here, I think, is whether or not this set of circumstances meets that standard. And currently, the gag order that was put in place by the district judge, by Matt Johnson, it was appealed, and an intermediate appellate court found that Judge Johnson abused his discretion, and they vacated the gag order.
Uh-huh.
But then just yesterday, the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals, which is the highest criminal court here in Texas, issued a stay on the lower court's move to vacate the gag order.
Wow, so the gag order is in place.
If you play through all those double negatives, uh-huh. that means that the gag order is still in effect while the case is on appeal.
We've talked a little bit earlier about how you didn't see a whole lot in these newly released autopsy reports. We have some largely procedural hearings that are coming up on Monday. What strikes you as most unusual about this incident?
Well, I think the concern from the very first day has been that the authorities in Waco brought in under similar charges, you know, the same charge, under similar bail conditions and, you know, sort of similar treatment, almost 200 individuals. And that is extraordinary in and of itself. You typically do not see anything of that magnitude. And everyone is being treated more or less the same. And we have a lot of civil liberties, constitutional protections, both under the Texas Constitution, the U.S. Constitution, that say that, you know, individual defendants need to be treated as individuals. So there seems to be a very, very broad net that's been cast here by the authorities. And I think that's a reason for concern.
Tamara Tebow runs the Center for Legal Pedagogy at the Texas Southern School of Law. She's columnist for AboveTheLaw.com as well. Professor Tebow, thank you so much for taking time to speak with us.
My pleasure.